Welcome back to another episode of the FFV Podcast. I hope you're having a great morning, day, or evening. I'm your host, FFV, and today I'm bringing you another amazing guest. He is a fellow content creator in the Web3 space that has amassed over 70,000 followers between X and YouTube. He's one of the hosts for the Nifty Porter Show and now running his new project called Bodagos. Welcome the motherfucking legend himself, Easy Eat Bodega. What is up, my man? How you doing?
Hey, FFV, my guy, we are living well, feeling better. You know how it is? Never a boring day in crypto and Web3, so can't complain too much.
Nah, man, it's always a great day being there, man. It's really cool. You know, I've said this before, you know, like this is probably like one of the first times in my life where I wake up so fucking excited to start my day, go on X, go on YouTube, you know, just hanging out with everybody, man. It's a pretty surreal kind of moment. I feel very lucky to, like, you know, corny as it sounds, to find my fucking passion into, like, you know, I just never really liked anything before, man. But
yeah, I feel you, bro.
What are your thoughts on that? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I agree. Like, it's a passion at this point, and that's the crazy thing about it. It's like the way I look at it is like, none of it feels like work because I enjoy doing it. And I had posted that today, actually, of all days. I had posted about content creation. And it said, like, what I enjoy the most about it is the fact that I post things that I'm enjoying and learning about, because if I can articulate it in a way that someone else can learn from me, then only then do I truly understand it. And, like, I just have a love for learning. So it's like, this space always has something going on where you can immerse yourself into one of a million different avenues at any given time and learn as much as you're willing to digest at that time. So it's a crazy space. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah, dude, me neither, man. It's pretty crazy, man. And I wanted to ask about that, you know, like, posting what you love, because, you know, I don't know if you've ever experienced this myself. I've always kind of posted, you know, what I think is going to get, you know, engagement, likes, or whatever. I'm starting to get over that a little bit, you know, posting things that I know that aren't going to do so well, and just leaving them there. How did you overcome something like that?
Yeah, it's a good question, because, like, I guess you almost have to start with, like, my come up on Twitter was, like, I never really had a following until, like, January, February, 2021. So, like, bull run market, but I was posting all my active trades. And, like, that was just a way for me to, like, publicly document it, to show, like, this is possible, this is legitimate. And that led to sort of a following. And then people started to realize, like, that the way I look at the market is different than how they may look at it. And they learn things from it. So to me, it was always just like, when I post a tweet, even if it's like something of me just kind of like shit posting, you know, it's, to me, it's just like, I just post what I enjoy. Because one of the things I've always wanted to, like, focus on was, like, to just be unapologetically me. And that's something that I've always wanted to do, where it's like, post what I enjoy, post what I like. And don't get me wrong, like, dude, sometimes I'll delete a tweet or two when I'm just like, this was a dumb tweet. Like, there's literally no reason to even have this, you know? And some of them have 50 likes, some have one like, you know? But to me, it's just like, it's very rarely, because most of the time when I'm tweeting, it's just like, I'm going to post it just because I purely want to. And I guess overcoming that, for, like, the engagement side of things, was like, I never really looked at it from an engagement side of stuff. There was that run where everyone was, like, reply guying to big accounts for, like, impressions. And I took my own spin on that. It wasn't for impressions for myself. We had just launched the Bodagos Giphy. So I was, like, just posting the dog gifts to try to get views up and, like, get people to see them as much as possible. So it's always just, like, a strategy, I guess, when it comes to, like, that side of things. But then, like, my just page, it's more just, like, my open dialogue and thoughts. And that's just, like, I don't journal. I probably should, to be honest, but I don't journal at all. So that's kind of the thing where I'm like, this is my journal. Like, this is where I can discuss things and share stuff and my takes and my opinions on stuff in a space that I'm just fascinated with. So it doesn't feel like I'm doing anything I wouldn't do normally. And let me actually fix my camera, because my dog eyes in the background are popping into it on the skateboard.
Oh,
there we
go. Good,
bro. So for me, it was more just like, why not just post things that are on my mind or what I'm thinking about an ongoing situation? And just drive that action. Because, like, to me, you get a better result. It's just who you are. You're sharing that instead of just, like, posting, like, who's active right now. Or what we see a lot of now is, like, when some breaking news hits, your whole timeline is the same post about that one piece of news. When you can take that same approach, but give your take on it. And that's where I think that I enjoy it more. Because, like, it may not get the same level of engagement, but who cares? Now you know my opinion on it.
Yeah, I feel like it's more impressionable as well. You know, I've had people come up to me with the lowest amount of engagement on my tweets and said, dude, I fucking laughed my ass off on that tweet, you know, things like that, man. But, you know, before we get into the more questions, man, I just want to say thank you for giving me the time and coming on the show. I really appreciate it, my man. And I bet people are fucking stoked as fuck, dude, because, like, you know, people really, you know, really take your opinions and statements very seriously. But first things first, though, my guy, we get a little bit personal here. So here comes one loaded question. Where are you from and what was it like growing up for Easy Bodega?
Yeah, so I'm from a small town in Connecticut. Came from a low income, like, I guess you could say medium income, but the town I lived in was, like, relatively wealthy except for my family and a handful of others. So it was just one of those situations growing with my mom and my dad at the time and just going through life, man. Like, just, I tweet the same thing every morning, which is one day at a time.
I love that shit so much.
And it's been like my GM. Like, that is when people know I'm up. That's like, and I've been tweeting it like as long as I can remember on the account for like 2 years running now. And it was a statement me and my mom would say to each other for so long. Because it was always just like trying to figure out how to get enough money for the next day and like how are we going to go and like do anything, you know, like anything in life, whether it was like I needed shoes for basketball, in which I was like picking up, or needed food for XYZ, or just like folders and pencils and a new backpack for the school year. It was always just like we made it work. It was just like one day at a time and just kind of getting through that. So grew up in a small town in Connecticut. I was born in South Carolina, moved up to Connecticut when I was like 3, got a younger brother. Mom worked in school systems as an occupational therapist. Dad had been an entrepreneur forever, doing like lawn care stuff, has never worked for anybody. So it was always an interesting dynamic. And growing up, it was like not coming from a lot of money. I always wanted to figure out how to get money for myself to like do stuff with my friends who came from a little bit more affluent situations that were able to like just spend freely. So that led to me getting into like sneakers and cards and all that other stuff that you could participate when you're like 13, 14 before you can actually get a job. So I was doing that really early on and got really into the sneaker culture world and became profitable at that, where I could make enough money until I could get a job at 14. I was working on a farm, picking blueberries at 4:35 in the morning till like 10, 11 a.m. So like 5-6 hour shifts, like as early as I could get a job. Which became a summer gig for that summer. And then I went back to school, of course. And then while in school, I started flipping sneakers more aggressively because I had some capital to use, could buy multiple pairs, scale that. When I turned 16, sold 60 pairs of shoes for a car, my first car.
Damn.
So like really hustled. And then I actually got really into cars, where it was like not like crazy models and stuff, learning to fix them. So I figured out how to like fix basic things, anything you could do in a driveway, and started flipping cars. Now, damn, of course, bro, I never had a dealer license, so it got me into a tiny bit of trouble where I had sold a 1994 Alfa Romeo, which was like one of the last years they were in the U.S. Holy got a hold of it, drove it without plates from this other small town back home, like crazy situation, sold it the next day to this guy who was trying to buy it from the first person, and he actually lit me up for not having a used dealer license. I was like, I'm going to report you if you don't give it to me for cost.
What the fuck?
Yeah, dude, it was a wild situation. So that was like 2017, 2018, or when I was 17 or 18, which was, oh damn, when was that? Like 2010, maybe around there. Because I'm 29 now, so got some years under me comparatively to some people in the space. Still young to some others, but yeah, it was a crazy journey, dude. And that was like basically the last car I flipped because I was so nervous to get reported, because you can end up facing like fat fines.
But I ended up
managed to like subsidize my entire freshman year of college off flipping cars for the previous 2 years, which was like this hustle mentality, just like got to figure it out.
Straight hustle, bro. Now that's fucking so, dude, kudos to that. Very admirable, dude, because like, you know, you just went out there and just got it. And I kind of want to go back to that, you know, like, the way you grew up, you know, you didn't really, you and your mom were talking about how you were going to get the next meal, pencils and stuff like that. Do you think that adversity helped you along your journey and becoming who you are as, like, you know, someone that doesn't really just wait around, you know, to get shit put on their lap. They fucking go out there and they go get it.
Oh, for sure. And I think that kind of pivoted into like why I love to learn. Like even now, like I talked about that earlier on, and that is like a large part of it is like, in order to figure out the next opportunity, you have to educate yourself on how to get there and then what to do once you're there. So it really like played into it. And it's definitely like this go-getter mentality where even before I joined the Nifty full-time, I was doing it while working another job, like my full-time gig before this. And it's always just been that mentality that like I need to stay busy, and almost to a fault where like I hate being bored. It like actually like stresses me out when I'm not doing something.
I feel bad, huh?
Yeah, dude. And it's like just been ingrained in my head that if I'm not moving or doing something or trying to increase my current situation, I'm wasting time. And like, there's points in my life where I'm like, I like stop and I'm like, I need to just appreciate the now versus like forcing the hand for tomorrow. And I think that is like largely what it was ingrained in me as a kid was like, you got to do the now to get to tomorrow versus like and just enjoying it.
I completely agree, man. I grew up kind of the similar way, you know, just similar. My mom, it was just me and my mom, you know, really. And I grew up without a father and stuff like that. I was kind of like rebellious a little bit, you know. I was pretty angry at the world, you know, but it's crazy to me because like when you think about those things, man, and the routes people choose to take when they're faced those adversities. For example, you started at a young age, straight fucking hustling. You took zero no's for an answer, dude. And like, you know, me, I didn't really take that route. You know what I mean? I just did all the party shit. I was angry at the world, you know, very fucking pissed off, man. But it's great to see that, you know, someone like in my kind of in the similar situation could become so self-sufficient. And it just gives me, you know, hope and stuff. Cause dude, I was fucking programmed, dude. Like, get up, go to work, go to college, all that shit. I thought that was my life, dude. You know, that was gonna be it. I was gonna die like that. Not until I fucking got into the space, man. But I just wanted to put that out there.
Dude,
man.
No, it's crazy. And I think you're spot on. Like, I mean, dude, I went to school 4 full years, 4 years, graduated. I did a dual degree, same idea. There was like, I have too much free time with not taking enough classes. Ended up getting a dual degree in psychology and economics.
Damn.
Hated it. Absolutely hated what I was doing after. Cause like, you basically need to get more education. I refused to go get a master's. I was like, I just worked my ass off to get 2 degrees and all I can get is a sales job. So I guess that's what I'm going to fucking do is get a sales job. Yeah. Hated sales. I was smiling and dialing like 100 calls a day, 50 emails a day at a minimum, talking to people who don't want to talk to me. I'm like, this is the worst thing in the world. So I went back to school for software development because I found a program that could give me like an accredited degree from a known university for like 18 months. So I was like, this is really fast. Let's just do this. And then ended up getting into like tech consulting before this. So it was just like this crazy journey. And like, it really does stem from being young. It was like, I had this mentality that like, I can push myself tomorrow by working harder today. And like, that's what ended up leading to it. But it's exactly what I was saying. Like, dude, I hate being bored. So it was to a point where like my senior year of college, I was living with like 5 other guys. And I was still like, basically had a job already first month of school. So what many people would check out, I was still just like actively taking classes and like trying to take advantage of like the tuition I was paying for because shit wasn't cheap, you know. Yeah, like, no, I definitely value a dollar. So for me, I was like, I got to make sure I'm spending this shit. I can't skip out now.
Do you think that like growing up like that kind of, I heard this term earlier, it's called like money scars, you know what I mean? It's like where people either take one route or the other, you know, you kind of grew up, you know, lower class or something like that, and now you're just super frugal, or the other side where they just spend so much fucking money because they've never actually had it like that.
Yeah.
Do you are you more kind of like the frugal kind of side? That's what I'm getting from a little bit.
For sure. And like, I'd love like clothes. I'm a big clothes junkie. Yeah. So like, that's the one thing I do spend my money on. But when I do, I feel bad about it. As crazy as that sounds. It's like, dude, I didn't need to spend $100 on a hoodie or like $40 on a hat. Like, what the hell am I doing? And it's like, I go through like these bursts where it's like, oh, I'm going to go spend $500. And I feel terrible about it for like a month. And then like, I won't spend for like 2 months and then I'll do it again. And I'm like, what am I thinking? You know, because it was always just like, I really value a dollar. Like, I literally value each single dollar, which is a crazy statement to make, but it means a lot. And it's from working from such a young age and being able to stretch a dollar, I realize like how far it can go. So like, definitely the more frugal effort. Like, dude, I just had to move apartments to save $700 a month in the same building. Cause I was just like, I'm not going to stay here if I can save the same amount for an apartment that's the exact same size. Like, I take every opportunity I can, or like, if there's an opportunity to do some level of work, even now, like, I'll do basically anything to keep pushing and working and getting out of my comfort zone on new things. Like, friends who need like mechanic work that I still have knowledge on, I'm like, yeah, I'll do it cheaper than anything else. Just cause like, if I have a free afternoon, I don't want it to be free, you know? So yeah, it's definitely the more frugal route for sure. But you see the opposite side of that too. You know what I mean? Like, you see the people who paycheck hits, they spend it because they've never had money and they don't know when they'll get money again. So my little brother's a little bit more that way. Where like, he works as a mechanic, oddly enough, and when he gets paid, he spends it. Dude has like 4 cars that he's always working on and spends everything on them because it's like, he's never really, we didn't come for money. So it's like, we both have kind of polar opposite takes on it.
Yeah, no, I see that, man. I'm the same way with on your side, really. You know, I just hate seeing money go. It fucking hurts. But hey, man, this next question is one of my favorites just because everyone has such a different and unique story to it. So with that being said, I wanted to ask, How did you first discover crypto, and how did that lead you into discovering NFTs and Web3?
Oh man, so I've told this story a few times. So I found crypto through the Silk Road, actually. Ooh, nice. Yeah, so that was the start. I had sent a small amount of Bitcoin to buy weed on the Silk Road. Oddly enough, in college.
Were you not scared? I went on the site. I was fucking scared. I was like, dude, these people are fucking cops. They're trying to get my ass.
So I wasn't too, like, dude, Connecticut, like, living there and going to college there, it wasn't, like, too, like, I wasn't too worried. Like, okay. I had played basketball at a school in New Haven my freshman year before transferring. And that was a totally different world. Like, down there, it's, like, the campus was real close to, like, there was a weekend, like a gang initiation weekend, where they actually told you not to leave your dorms. Like, it was crazy. And then, so like, I was never really worried about cops. And my mentality was always like, if it happens, it happens, whatever. So like in college, we ordered it just to see what would happen. Like if we'd get it or not, like it was like a challenge, like a test. Yeah. And we sent it to a burner name to like this off campus house that we had friends at. And we basically, like, our mentality was like, if they take it and confiscate it, we'll just say we never ordered it. Like, you can't track it. We had done our research into crypto and Bitcoin at the time. So that was like the first time I figured out what it was. And I was like, this is fucking crazy. Like, there's going to be so many illegal activities from this shit. And then I like kind of like started the segue. It's 2016. I graduated college and I got really, really into leverage trading because I came from equities before. My dad had always taught me like previously, like invest and like buy companies and never sell them. Like, he was an early Disney buyer. He still has the original shares he bought in like the 70s. Like, he's crazy. He was buying Tesla sub 100, like free splits, like, refused to sell it. Like, he still holds all the shares. He never sells. So totally different mentality from me, who's like a take profit maxi.
Yeah.
But I was really into equities from like 16, when I was 16, just learning from that side of things. Because once again, I saw it as an opportunity to compound your money. So I was like, oh, this is really interesting. So that was the same thing I was doing, was like flipping cars, investing that money. And then I found crypto. The market's open 24/7.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, I can literally trade all day. Like, this is crazy. And like really get into it. So I ran a balance of like about $15,000 to a little over half a million between 2016 and 2018. And then 2 days after Christmas in 2018, I lost everything. I got margin called. I lost every dollar I had. Yeah. Like, dude, my bank account went from like a couple thousand in it. And then obviously, like, at the time I was fresh out of college, was working, thought I could just live off trading forever indefinitely. Lost everything and obviously kept adding into it and burning it because like the market was just straight down for that period of time. Lost literally everything. I think when the dust finally settled, I had like $70 to my name and like had just luckily paid 2 months of rent where I was living. So like I had enough time to like figure it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had lost everything. It was like one of the lowest points of my life for sure. I remember like there was a point where like I called out sick for like 4 straight days from work at the time and like refused to get out of bed. It was terrible, dude. And I left crypto entirely because I was like, I can't do it. Like, I was losing my mind, ended up just working. That's what led to me then getting like very shortly after that into a new job for the tech consulting side of things. Stayed away from crypto until 2020 in December when a close friend of mine was working with NBA Top Shot and was like, because I was doing cards again. Like, I got really into like the Zion Williamson rookie chase cards that you could get from like retail packs and like really got into basketball cards just as a lover of it and seeing how many people were making off like rares. I was like, fuck it, we'll get active again. And then oddly enough, he told me, he's like, check out Top Shot. I think you'll like it. So I started looking into it, threw some money in there, ran that up until the collapse, obviously, never sold anything. I still have like a LeBron player debut moment, a Steph player debut moment, still have them. Then I wrote off NFTs. I was like, NFTs are dumb. This Top Shot thing is stupid. Basically the same cycle. And then what hit, oddly enough, was I got into Lazy Lions in August of 2021 because I saw Bored Apes happen. Yeah. Hash Masks, I minted one of those instead of a Bored Ape, stupidly enough. And then I went like, gig along on Lazy Lions, like crazy big bet on those. So I was like, the website reminds me of apes. They're lions, but apes. Screw it. Let's let it fly. I ended up selling like, I had like 30, 35, I think, and sold most of them between 1 and 2 ETH. So that was like my first big win. And then I was like hooked. And then I went all in on Solana end of September, start of October, 2021. I was like, there's no gas. This is the future. I'm all in. Ran that into like a bunch of crazy projects that were, some of the big names at the time were like Boryoku Dragons, which were selling for like 50K. And I had minted like 20 of them, you know? Jeez. So it was like crazy, dude. It was crazy.
Dude, so like, first off, dude, that's a fucking insane story, man. I wanted to ask about, you know, how you really just got back on the horse. You know what I mean? After that loss, you're like, I feel like that's very important and valuable to really go inside of that. Like, what inside you was like, fuck this, dude, I'm going back.
Yeah, I think it was because like when you get to that point, it was one of the things that I had seen a few times previously for people who hit it big on like options contracts and retail investing side of things from equities. And everyone says you got to lose it all once to truly appreciate taking profits. And that was something that stuck in the back of my head because I just felt like I had beat the system. I'd figured it out. Yeah. I was never going to lose. This was my life. Now I would trade and never lose, you know? And then losing it all was like such a wake up call. And it kind of reset my brain again to like when I was a kid and like had to value a dollar again. Because I went through this phase where it was like, I wasn't so frugal during that. Like I was living above my means because I had the capital to do so. I didn't buy anything crazy, but it was just like fresh out of college. You'd go out with like roommates every weekend and freely spend, you know, like not think twice about stuff. Buy clothes whenever. I was driving like an 08 Camry. So luckily I didn't buy like a brand new car and have any issues with that, you know? Yeah. So that was like the one blessing in disguise. I should have paid off like student loans at the time and stuff, but I was just like, I want to see this get to a million. Yeah. You know, that was the mentality. It was like, get it to a million and then figure it out. And yeah, so that was pretty crazy. But then like after a few days of like sulking in bed, I looked at my bank account and realized the number was still there and hadn't gone up. So it was just like this refresher, like you've gotten out of this spot once before. Under your own determination and efforts, you can do it again. And that to me was like, okay, I know that I've gotten there. I know I can get there again. I have a lot of life and a lot of time. And that was a like turning point in my brain to really value how I spend time and energy and really figure out like, is this an optimal use of my time or not? And that was kind of like the focus shift for me was like really honing in on like every hour of the day and making sure that I'm leveraging it to the best of my ability. And I've gotten even like, I've pivoted from some of that now where I can appreciate like some downtime, but that grind was like the refresh moment where I was like, all right, you just wasted 3 full days. That could have been used doing anything. You could have gone and driven Uber. You could have done something else, you know, and actually made additional cash instead of just sitting here sulking. And that was like a wake up call because for me, it was always just like coming from nothing, having something, and then going back to nothing. It was like, damn, okay, you've done it once before. You can do it again. It just may not be the same path for it. So figure it out. And that was like a lot of self-reflection that really helped me out and realizing that like time doesn't stop. That's like the hardest pill to swallow is that like you may be in a shitty situation right now, but no matter what that situation is, time's just going to keep pushing. It doesn't stop for anybody. And you got to take advantage of it.
Damn, man. That's fucking crazy, man. I didn't know about that, man, about the you got it all lost. Man, that's insane story, man. I can't wait for your Netflix documentary. That's going to be fucking sick. But dude, I also wanted to ask, bro, because, you know, it's it's very obvious that you are a Solana maxi, dude. So I want to get into why and what hooked you so much that was like, dude, fucking sold all the way. And I know you're not like sold all the 100% way because you have ETH and other things like that. But, you know, you're big on Sol, man. So tell me the love.
Yeah, so it started, I was in NFT Llama, if you remember him.
Oh, yeah.
His OG Discord was not token gated. It was purely traders, like way back. And he had opened up this channel called Soul Trades in there way back. Like, and he only left it open for about a month. And I hopped in one day and I met this guy, Paladin. It's like XOXO something something on Twitter. But quickly became like a very close friend of mine and who I consider family right now. Indefinitely, you know? And he calls me and he's like, just follow these steps. Don't ask questions. I was like, all right. Because we'd been trading like some ETH stuff. And obviously like there was pump and dumps and all that other bullshit. And I realized like, buy in and get out as quickly as possible because you know what you're getting into. You know what I mean? So as soon as I saw the Soul Trades, I was interested because he basically pivoted there first and was like, check this out. There's no gas. Because I was so tired of transaction fees. Like, dude, this is $50, $60, $70. What
sometimes
the hell?
More
dude?
Than the
this
fucking
is,
NFT.
Literally. I'm like, I'm spending more in gas. Like, this thing has to 2X or I don't make any money.
Yeah.
And then he hits me. He's like, dude, there's no gas on Solana. This thing could go up 30%. You just made 30%. I was like, see, that's like an honest return. You know, like, that's an equities level return. Compound that, it scales much quicker. So I was like, all right, this is more interesting to me. So he sets me up on a Fana wallet, walks me through like how to do some stuff. This is before bots or anything. So it's not like gas where you can fast gas it on ETH. It was exactly like sneakers to me because it's first in, first out. So whoever hits the button the fastest gets it. So you have to open up multiple tabs and spam the mint button across tabs to try to hit multiple mints. And I was like, this is literally sneakers. So it related to the sneaker drops to me when sneakers went from physical lines to online before bots hit the scene. You have to multi-tab, multi-site. So I'd be on Foot Locker, Finish Line, all of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All of it. And just hitting as many tabs as I could trying to get sneakers at release dates. So that was Solana. And I was like, oh shit, this is there's no gas. Like, this is how retail gets interested, because you're not paying absorbent fees and small bank accounts can actually participate. Yeah. So I was like, this just makes way more sense to retail participants. And it was really quickly mobile friendly. So that was the big thing, where like, you could do it on the go. So you didn't have to be at your desk for every drop. You could participate at any given time. And I was like, this is a home run, dude. Like, this makes the most sense. This is why I think this is going to work. Then it pumped to 260. Luckily, I sold like a decent chunk of my bag on the way up, because like I said, I lost it all. So I was actively like every other week taking money out and hitting my bank account with it. And basically did that all the way up and then all the way back down. Just because to me, I was like, if you don't put this in your bank account, you can't actually spend it. You're just going to do the same thing you did last time. But it was because the blockchain was pumping so much, speed of transactions, and the development life cycle was much quicker than ETH at the time, where they were pushing updates to wallets and marketplaces so fast. I was like, this has to get some traction. And even now, post FTX, that like made my conviction even stronger. I was just on a call before this, where I was talking to someone. I was like, if FTX collapses and Solana Foundation and Solana Labs don't go under in the next 30 days, this token is going to be the winner next bull run, plain and simple. Like, as long as everyone doesn't leave following this like apocalyptic event, there's no way it doesn't run. Like, there's no way it doesn't at least go back to 100 over a long enough time frame, which is a clean like 12x from $8 lows. So I just started buying again. And for me, it was just like, this is such a no-brainer, man. It's like the tech stack is fast. Anybody can participate and they have a massive mobile user base. So why would I not bet on something that feels inevitable?
Yeah. And that's what's crazy too, man. I just saw everything that went down with the mobile or the Solana phone and stuff like that with that one dude.
I got my Solana phone right here. Let's We're good to go.
Oh, that's so, dude, I don't give a fuck, dude. That's so dope, bro. Like a crypto phone. That's so fucking dope, dude. And I was hearing this morning, dude, it's actually faster than your iPhone.
Way faster, dude. It's
no
crazy
way, dude.
Like, everyone doesn't believe me. And when I bring it out and like let people mess with it, they're just like, dude, it, the phone processes quick. And maybe my iPhone is just slow. But like, dude, when I go on, I'm like, this thing is smooth. Like, I'm pleasantly surprised at how smooth the phone is.
That's great to hear, dude, because, you know, as soon as someone takes it, the first iteration that comes out, man, it's usually like kind of botchy and stuff like that. But that was actually really surprising. The other thing that was pretty cool was the fucking $5 a month
Helium mobile plan. Yeah,
dude,
like,
that's
this
insane,
crazy,
man.
Powered by T-Mobile. I'm like, why would I not try this if I'm already on T-Mobile? Like, this is a no-brainer.
No, that's actually insane, man. And I feel like that they're, you know, just in things in my mind that run through in my mind, whatever. But Are they kind of trying going towards like a kind of like mass adoption kind of route with the $5 a month thing? And I've heard they lowered the price as well on the phone, right?
Yeah, so they dropped it. Sorry, my dog's bugging me.
Oh, that's the OG Bodago right there.
Yeah, that's who Buddy's based on, dude, the demon himself. Oh, so definitely I would say they're trying to get a wider audience appeal. The phone network is a mesh network. So it's based on number of users that like basically strengthen the network by connectivity through it, which is why there's a cheap price. It's only available in like select cities. So Miami, Atlanta, I think LA and New York are the only ones right now while they scale the network. And that cheap phone plan, I don't think it's going to be forever. Hopefully I get grandfathered in. But so for $5, I'm like, I may as well just get a phone number on it and I can use data on it whenever. Damn. I'm here for it.
Yeah. No, it was super cool to see, man. I just think like a Solana coming out, it was definitely unexpected. Damn it. Fucking shit keeps freezing. But yeah, it was definitely unexpected for something like that to come out, man. It got me super stoked. But hey, man, so you and I actually met IRL at the Fuck It Saturday event, and you definitely gave me some great insight and advice about social media, Web3, and NFTs. But what shocked me the most was the fact that Web3 was actually your first time getting into creating original content, you know what I mean? And with that, you've already built such a large following, a solid community around you. How did you manage to gain this following, and what were some really important lessons you've learned that helped you along the way?
Yeah, so the Twitter following was certainly from like, everyone knew me from the NFT morning show as being like this aggressive trader, someone who was constantly taking profits, looking for the next move, finding projects early to get involved in and make profit on, and being like an aggressive profit taker, which it's like, that was the big thing from last cycle I wish I had done, was take profits. Sure, holding long-term bags was what compounded it so quickly. But the big thing was like, if I took that profit out, I would have been able to capitalize on it and like figured out my life in a much different manner. But you live and you learn, you know?
Yeah.
So that was kind of the big thing. And everyone knew I was on Solana. So I was like, all right, all these people are asking what I'm trading, why I'm getting into stuff. So I'm going to do a 5 soul challenge. At the time, soul was like $100. It was about a $500 challenge. So what some people would say a small account, but like all most of my trades being like bankroll conscious, were still like a soul or less to start. And I was posting all my trades publicly, buys, sells, and then I would even share under that tweet why I exited or took profit or stop loss, and would be hyper transparent on it. And that's what led to a kind of this feedback cycle, because I ran 5 soul to 80, so turned 500 into 8,000 in January. Jesus. And then did it again in February and did 5 to like 65. So took 10 soul to like 150. Yeah. So like 15 grand off $1,000 basically, and restarted it. And then I had to actually stop completely because so many people were copy trading me that I'd post a trade and the floor would immediately jump to my exit, because I always posted where I wanted to exit too. I'm like, this is my target exit. Okay. So, and then here's where I'm going to sell if it goes this low. Like, here's where I'll list it at if it goes under. Here's where I'm going to take profit at. So everyone, no one could say I was pumping and dumping, because I was like, I hated that that nomenclature where I can't talk about trades. And it's something I've always stuck with, is this is why I'm buying it, and here's where I plan to sell it if I plan to sell it or use it. Like Captains was another great example more recently, where I was like, if it hits 10, I'm selling. It hit 10, I changed my thesis, and then it fell back off, and I'm an idiot for that. But that's what kind of started my following. And then I was doing content on the Nifty Wednesdays and Saturdays for Solana focused only content for them, which is just like, dude, some of my early videos are so bad. I sound like a robot, no type of character, no type of personality, because I was just kind of nervous, you know? Yeah. But the biggest thing I learned is like, just, everyone says it, but it's like, just, dude, just be yourself. Post your thoughts, post your takes. Don't shy away from being you. Don't lean into like who you think you have to be. Like, dude, I swear, I cuss, I trade aggressively, I kind of just am loud, and like, you've met me in person too. Like, I feel like I'm the same person online as I am in person. You know? And I just try to be me, just try to talk to people and understand, like, I'm open to every conversation. People gave me a platform early on, and I'd love to do the same for other people and share any inputs, thoughts, and takes that I have. So it's like, I love when smaller accounts reach out and ask like genuine questions. I hate the ones that are like, hey, retweet this for me. Like, dude, get out of here, dude. But if someone's like, hey, how'd you get here? What did you do? I'm doing this. What do you think? I'll answer 100% of the time.
Yeah, I'm the same way, man. You know, when people come to me, yeah, I get it. You know, like it's just like, hey, can you retweet this? Or even sometimes buy this NFT of mine. Or
crazy.
Whatever. Yeah, insane, bro. Like, what are you talking about, dude?
Bro, how did you get your following? I got to ask you that question.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. So, to be honest, man, I, like yourself, dude, I had no fucking idea, what I was doing, bro. Like, this was the first time I ever done Twitter. I ever done like, any kind of social media, you know. I've had a Facebook and Instagram, but it was just for like, to keep up with the family and friends, you know, that's it. And, you know, my main goal coming into the space was literally, I just wanted to hang out with everybody that was into NFTs and Web3. That was my main goal at first. And then what really helped me out, dude, was just like you said, dude, being myself. And I think I got on the process, I got lost in the sauce. You know what I mean? Because like, as I saw other creators and stuff like that do really cool stuff and really great things, but I would try to like kind of like mimic that or something like that, but it wasn't really working out for me. So like, I went back to like where, you know, I was just being myself, you know, always commenting on these things and really just asking a bunch of questions, you know, like about crypto, NFTs, blockchain, and all those things. And then I don't know if you know, dude, but I think I told you when we met a while back when I first got into this space, you know, Bored Apes were like fucking hyped up, you know, everything, everything they said was like a grail or whatever the fuck, you know. And one day I was scrolling through Twitter and this dude named like Hootie was like, hey, if you love the Bored Ape Yacht Club, you know, comment, retweet, and like this, and I'll choose one of you guys to, you know, get a Bored Ape. And I did it. I said something. I don't remember what I said, but he fucking chose me. He was like, dude, yours was the best, dude. I'm going to give you my, my BFP. And it was the one that I have right now. And
that's like, so crazy.
Yeah, dude, it was fucking insane. I was at work when this happened, dude. It was like, Bored Apes were around $1,200. And I was like, dude, this is fucking insane. I just got an NFT that was worth like $1,200, and fucking right when I posted it, bro, dude, so many follow, like from the Bored Ape Yacht Club community, you know, even fucking Garga and Gordon were like commenting on my stuff, man. It was so fucking cool, man. And like, the whole welcoming party was was the thing that got me hooked into NFTs. I've never felt so welcomed in my life, man. Like, ever. I've never felt so a part of something. You know what I mean? Like, I've always done other things and I just never really got into it. I never fit in as well as I wanted to in other groups. But dude, the day I got welcomed by everybody here, I was
fucking That's tough, so dude. Sick.
Yeah, dude. And I've just been running it with ever since, dude. Just fucking building this personal brand. And till this day, bro, I kind of still don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but I'm trying, dude. You're crushing, bro.
It was just so good to connect in person, too. It was just
dude, it was so dope.
Yeah, great conversation. Like, genuine questions, too, which were awesome. Like you saw, like, dude, I like to think I'm the same online as I am in person.
Yeah.
And it was just awesome to like have a genuine conversation and just talk through stuff. It was awesome.
I feel like the in real life interactions are so important, bro. Because like you could get only so much from reading a tweet or 100%. You know, on live or something like that. When you see someone's body language and you look into their eyes and things like that, it really comes into play. You know what I mean? Because you feel the connection. You feel if somebody gives a fuck or not.
You can tell right away.
And with you, bro, you know, like I said earlier, or when we first met, you know, I was fucking nervous coming up to you, bro. You know what I mean? Because one thing for sure, you're a lot taller than I thought.
Bro, people say that, dude. It's got to be the small dog on the internet. Like, I'm this little fucking Yorkie.
I think
Yorkie,
so, bro. You know? I think so. When I saw you, I was like, damn, this fucker's taller than Thread Guy's ass, bro. But I was like, yeah, I was pretty nervous coming up to you. But, you know, I saw you smile at everybody that came up to you. I was like, you know, I'm going to go take a fucking chance. And yeah, I came up to you. I was like, hey, what's up, man? I'm FFV, you know, I try to be kind of a, cause I don't know, dude, I don't like when people, or when I don't want people thinking that I'm like, hey, I'm fucking FFV, you should fucking know.
Sure.
You know what
sure.
I mean? So I try to come in, you know, super humble, like, hey man, you know me from Twitter, I'm FFV. Dude, your fucking reaction, dude, made me so fucking happy, bro. Like, oh, FFV, bro. It was a dope interaction, bro. And I couldn't.
Yeah, because we've interacted online. So it's like, dude, I try to remember everyone that I interact with, and especially people I frequent and follow and talk to on the timeline. And it's, I just love putting a face to a name. And like, to me, dude, it's just, it's unreal. Like, how many people are you really going to meet in your lifetime that have this disgusting love for internet pictures that have the same chaotic mentality across this space of why we're still here? And that's just like, to me, I'm just like, this is sick. Like, I loved it, dude.
Yeah, no, it was amazing, man. And for anyone that really is kind of intimidating going up to you, bro, please fucking don't do this.
Please do, dude. Someone had mentioned it too. They saw me and they were like, I was too nervous to come say hi. I literally responded. I was like, dude, I promise you, I don't bite. I promise. I'm a friendly dude. You'll be more surprised at how excited I am to meet you. Like, plain and simple. It's just like, because I love it, dude. And like, to me, it's not a following by any means. It's just like, these are people I interact with. And like, I guess I lucked out that people appreciate the nonsense that I post on the timeline sometimes, you know? Yeah. And to me, it's just fun. Like, that's all it's about. And if you have similar interests and passions, I'm positive we can strike up a conversation about anything.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm the same exact way, man. And I think most of us are here in this space. I mean, you have to be kind of being here in the bear market and stuff like that, man. And, you know, it's those moments, you know, where you, I mean, to be honest, man, I wouldn't have DM'd you asking for you to come on the podcast. I was just fucking nervous, you know what I mean? But like, being in person, it mustered me up to like, you know, maybe this guy will say yes, you know, he's fucking dope.
100%. You remember what I said to you? I said, you DM me now so I don't lose it.
Yep.
And then I think I actually sent you one too and said time and place. Yep. And then we both got busy and I messaged you again and was like, let's do this. And then I forgot to respond to you.
Yeah.
You bumped us. It was back and forth of us both like bumping each other because it just got busy. But I was like, I'm going to make this happen. I wanted to. Dude, any way that I can support people and rock with people that are just awesome humans like yourself, I was like, I got to do this. I want to do this. Anytime.
I appreciate that, man. It fucking, like I said, bro, it means the fucking world. I don't know why my shit keeps fucking freezing like that. I gotta fix it. But bro, so we've talked about how you got to this point, but would love some insight on what your future plans are as far as content creation goes on X, YouTube, and you know, any other social media platform. What's your tactics? What's your things that you're gonna be doing soon?
Yeah, so I mean, like, dude, I've been recently hyper focused on YouTube, to be honest, and just like trying to try a bunch of different things, different thumbnails, different conversation topics, like watching a lot of content on like what the algorithm is and stuff like that to try to learn. Cause like YouTube's a foreign language to me.
Yeah.
And like, I'm lucky to have 4,000 subs on there, which I'm like so hyped about. And I think it sounds crazy, but like the one thing I'm like so grateful for is not making a YouTube till the bear market. Because my mentality is like, if I can grow an audience in the bear market, then it's only going to quadruple in the bull, you know? Yeah. And like, that's been my mentality. I've got a bunch of friends who are Solana content creators who have gotten burned out. And when I talk to them, they're like, dude, I have to just stop. Cause like watching my view count go from 30,000-40,000 views a video to 300 is so defeating. And I'm in such an opposite side of it where I'm like, making content and getting 100 views, I'm like, 100 people wanted to hear me talk about something. Yeah. That is sick. Like, that is so cool to me. Because I've never had this experience, so it's still so new to me. And
so,
like,
I was going
to
ask you too, brother. Like, so when people, this is your first time creating original content, putting yourself out there. How does it feel, man, when people come up to you and be like, fucking easy, dude, what's up? Or, you know, because people are fucking stoked to meet you, my guy. You know what I mean?
Which is crazy to me, dude, because I'm just like such a, like, to me, I'm just like just this normal ass dude, you know? So it's like, when people are like, dude, you are like all this crazy stuff at the fucking Friday event, shout out Prophets putting that on.
Yeah.
This person came up to me and was like so eager to talk to me. And they were like, I watch you all the time. You won't recognize me. I'm not going to tell you who I am, but I'm so grateful to meet you. And I was like, that was the craziest interaction of all time. Like, who are you?
That's fucking
you know?
Dope.
So no, I was like, that's dope. Crazy. But so like for me, it's like, it feels surreal, like almost like imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, why are you so excited to meet me when like, I don't feel like I've accomplished anything that's that spectacular, you know? And I guess part of it is like being this hyper-doxed individual on the timeline. Like I post my face on video content, post pictures from IRL events and stuff without a care. And to me, that's just like being myself, just to help people realize I really am human, you know? Yeah. So it's really awesome that people are that excited to meet me, but I promise you, I'm just as excited to meet you.
Yeah.
Cause I don't look at it as like me having this following or being anyone of importance. Like, dude, we're in a micro niche on the internet. Yeah. Like I'm not big, you know, like,
yeah,
that's how I view it.
No, I feel you, man. I view it the same way, you know, we're a very small niche micro thing on this fucking platform that, you know, becoming the everything at, man. But yeah, man, I just love to hear that you're so humble about everything, man. And I feel the same way. Like, you know, I've had people come up to me and just, you know, like, fucking your FFV, bro. You know, I've had this one dude come up to me and he said that, like, and it was crazy for me. Like, I inspired him and like I motivate him. And I'm like, fuck, dude, like,
that's dude, the best that comments.
Means the fucking world to me, dude. I even told him that, dude. I was like, dude, what you said means the fucking world to me, dude. Yeah, dude, it's just super fucking dope to really experience. And I'm glad you, as you know, as yourself, are experiencing the same thing, man. But, dude, I want to talk about something super cool, super exciting, and that's fucking Bodagos. But we got to start at ground zero, my guy.
Okay.
How did you come up with this idea, and what are the goals Bodagos sets out to accomplish?
Yeah, so Bodagos started, dude, April of 2022. We started to table the idea. And we were like, we want to do some level of IP. Want to do something that's more geared towards traders, speculators, the audience that we talk to a lot on the NFT Morning Show and both of my shows, which is like active market participants. And that was the thing where we were like, okay, I've used this dog, which is literally originally was a Fiverr claymation of my dog that you can see behind me.
Yeah.
Like that was something I just got someone, a drawing of my dog to then get claymated. And it's had a couple iterations and then had like another iteration of it. And then we settled on this one. And ground zero was just like, what do we want to do with this? We want to provide an opportunity for people to feel like they have a community that's not only focused on the project. Because you go to so many discords and the only conversation is about the project.
Oh, yeah.
So we started this Soul Trades section of the end of the Nifty Discord where we only talked about trading. It was not token gated for 2 full years. And it really curated this community of people who were active market participants. Felt like it was home because you weren't tied or token gated or in anything like that. And then it slowly continued to grow with the Nifty where we were like, all right, we want to scale this. We want to make Bodagos in every effort we can to become a household name, but then also power the Nifty web application, which is the website for the free NFTs, to try to onboard people into digital collectibles and try to get them excited about collecting versus trading. So it was like this narrative shift of like, we're going to give you a home to actively trade, but now we want to get you excited about actually holding things. So like a mentality shift. And it became this entire process that we're still going through to make it exciting for people to want to be a part of the community, be a part of the content. And we have like a lot more gamified means for the content to get community involvement and engagement, especially in a bear market. People just want to felt heard and seen and participate. So we're really focused on that. And then also making it way easier for people to get into the NFT space without feeling like there's a massive monetary commitment. Because that's like one of the hardest things is like, people don't have thousands of dollars to speculate on pictures on the internet. So how do we make this seamless? Free NFTs, custodial wallets so that anybody can participate without needing to manage a seed phrase, and just trying to make the whole process easier while still at the core of it, creating a community that we like to refer to as connecting through collecting. So ways to engage one another, ways to complete full series and sets, which is rolling out in the near future, and a whole bunch of other stuff that like we're really excited for that really hones in on like the collectibles market and really leans into that. And that's something that I'm really excited about, whether it's physical or digital collectibles. We've done limited run merch for IRL events. We got a bunch of physical stuff coming out that I'm really excited about that's going to make like the whole collectability aspect a lot of fun. And we're just hyper conscious of like not to show our full hand. Because like who's ever won being like, here's our roadmap for the next 18 months, and then you pivot 3 months later and everyone gets mad? Yeah. That's we intentionally didn't release a roadmap. We're like, we're going to try a bunch of stuff and double down on the stuff people like. We just rolled out packs, which is similar to D-God's Points Parlor. One of us did it first. Hey, Frank, we got to talk. But you can win NFTs to these packs that we drop and get other collections in the Solana ecosystem. Somebody won a Mad Lads. We've had OK Bears in there, Clanosaurs, all the heavy hitters. So a lot of just fun stuff. And it's like opening a pack of cards. You actually buy the graphic as a pack of cards. You open it and you get either a free NFT or a redeemable. And those redeemables range from half a soul to 30, 40, 50 soul, you know?
Yeah.
Which is a lot of fun. And I spent a lot of time learning about packonomics. And like, that was the fun part. Was like, for me, I get to learn about like, how often is there a hit card or a chase card in Pokemon, sports? What did Top Shot do? What did Hearthstone do? So I got really in the weeds about it to make ours similar. Which has been fun. But yeah, we got a lot of really cool stuff to make collecting fun and make people want to participate and then empower the content as a vehicle to get people excited.
Oh, definitely, dude. And I got to say, man, the Bodogos art, man, so fucking clean, so recognizable, man. Like, I just wanted to ask, how does it feel when you see all these people? Dude, because they're everywhere. I fucking see them everywhere, dude. You know what I mean? Like, you scroll through the timeline, there isn't just one or two or three, dude. There's like a whole fucking row of them, you know? So how does it feel, dude, when you see those PFPs out in the wild, man, just fucking building their brand? So surreal, you know what I mean? Dude. It's got to be so fucking dope.
Yeah. It's so surreal, dude, because it was one of those things, like, we were so nervous to launch because we launched when Sol was like $18. I talked to a bunch of heavy hitters in the space, and they were like, wait for the bull, wait for the bull, wait for the bull. And we're like, we can't wait anymore. Like, we got to let this fly. If people like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. It's time. We got to do this. We got to see what happens. We can't keep sitting on our hands. And we actually, the original art was supposed to be 9 different breeds. That was a little closer to like the realism art of like, or not cartoon realism, which would have been like Isle like Bored Apes and OK Bears. Mm-hmm. We actually had 9 different breeds that were that style. We had scrapped it all. And we're like, we need to go cleaner. We need to go simpler. It's more difficult to build IP and build imagery, graphics, storytelling on stuff that's more detailed versus taking something hyper simple and being able to develop it more, which is what our free NFTs really did, was take the Buddy character and create all kinds of scenarios and situations that you know it's Buddy. And it's a lot harder to do if something's way more detailed. But it's crazy to see the timeline. Like, I'll go to a random like popular Twitter that's not in crypto Twitter and click like on a post I'm interested in, and all of a sudden there's like 2 or 3 dogs in there making some ludicrous comment, and I just laugh. Like, this is incredible. Like, I'm so grateful for it, dude. So genuinely grateful that these people rock with us, and I value them so much.
Well, yeah, dude. I mean, like, you guys have built such a, like I said, man, you and like the whole Nifty Portal team, especially you, man, you've built such a great community, solid, loyal community around you that people just want to be a part of, you know what I mean? And it's, like I said, man, it must be super fucking cool seeing like your creations just out there like that, man. But I want to ask, man, how did you come up with the name Bodogos? And why did you go with dogs? What was it? Was there any tactic, or was that kind of something personal for you? I know a little bit of it, but I want people to know.
Yeah, no, I mean, for sure. So like, the way I look at it is Bodogos was actually the second name. The original name was, the original name was Bodega Buddies. So
I remember that. Yep.
And then it turns out someone in New York owns a marijuana business called Buddy's Bodega. And our lawyer said it would have been an IP infringement.
Damn.
So we were like, shit. Because whatever the thing is called, where they like own the rights to it, the copyright or whatever it was, they included the words digital collectibles.
No.
Yeah.
Shit. So they were just like, on that shit.
We're totally smoked. We're totally smoked. People thought it was like IP squatting. Turns out it wasn't. This person has no idea who we are. It was just some small marijuana company out of New York, which is crazy. And then the dogs was just like, dude, I don't know. There's never like, I've never really seen a dog NFT really beat the test of time, you know? And for me, it's my actual dog. So I always started with like my PFP as this dog because I sold NFTs so quickly that I could never PFP one because I would have had to change it every day, you know? So I was like, I want to build this brand around something that resonates with me, that is going to look like an NFT. People won't know what it is. They'll end up asking, drive some conversation, but it's always, it's my actual dog. Like, that's the thing, is it's my actual dog, you know?
Yeah.
So I have this like very close attachment to Buddy. And it just meant a lot to me to do that. And then the dogs were just like, we wanted to expand on that. Cause in Solana, there's not any, if any, dog collections anymore. Nah. And even on ETH, I think of like Doge Pound was like the big one at the time. Gutter Dogs, which is an offset of Gutter Cats. Yeah. And there was never really like a great IP that's dogs, and it just made the most sense to lean into this heavy because people knew me as this dog on the internet, and we felt we should double down on it. And now you see like there's crazy furs and stuff in it, like you have a giraffe fur, a cow fur, a on fire dog, and it just let us expand and build on it, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I wanted to check out these fucking these 101s, bro. Like, are you seeing what I'm seeing right now?
Yeah, yeah.
It's so fucking dope, dude. When I saw these 101s, man, it was obviously, you got the OG right here. The main PFP bodega. Oh yeah, dude. I fuck my personal favorite one, dude. It has to be this guy right here, dude. This guy reminds me of like some Thanos ass motherfucker.
That's my boy Tig too. His PFP. That's his boy. So I love the Harry Potter inspired one, which is the wizard.
Where's that? Oh, right here.
Yeah, yep. Right there.
Oh, that's so fucking dope.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Just, I'm a Harry Potter nerd at the core.
Oh, dude, I love Harry Potter.
So right. That was the one I love the most. Then we obviously have the bull and the bear, which is a ton of fun. Yeah. So like, we got creative with these, but this is like exactly so the whole mentality is like, we could keep the artwork simple and do this hyper detailed stuff and you still know what it is, which is what like, it's such a win for us. You know what I mean?
It's huge, bro. And fucking, just like you said earlier, which is so important, dude. It's so fun. It's just fun, dude. You know what I mean?
You're, ton of fun.
You're having fun being a part of the community, having fun rocking the PFP. You're having fun, dude, just fucking networking with each other, man. It's a solid thing that you guys have built, man. And I hope that, you know, it's hard to take a step back and appreciate what you've done, man, dude. But like, dude, yeah, I think you should take a step back, appreciate what you've done, man, because people are fucking rocking with it, dude. People are talking about it. People are just loving what you guys are doing, man. And it's fucking dope, man.
It's crazy, man. It's just a start too. Like I spend so much time with Nick and Pio talking strategy and path forward, and and everyone will attest to it. Like I'm always in the Discord, and I'm bad at Discord, but I'm always in the bodega chat talking with like everybody. Cause like, I love feedback. Like I document all the feedback always, good and bad, cause it's the only way we get better.
Yeah.
And like, even if someone really likes something, I'm like, how can we make it better? If someone doesn't like something, what can we improve on? What can we pivot on? That to me is like how you actually grow. And that's why I like to think like we're still in the batter's box with the dogs, because there's a lot of stuff in the future that I'm genuinely excited about, and even more excited to start rolling out here in the near term.
Yeah, I'm fucking excited too, dude. I want to fucking ask, man, like, so since the short amount of time of Bodogos has launched, you guys have built such a present community, launched the token with actual use cases, you know, the packs, which you called Bones, right? Am I correct about that?
So it's not actually a token. It's just a point system.
Oh, just a point system.
Yeah, we were like real hesitant to do an actual token. So it's all like based on the account. So even if you sell your dog, you actually keep those points. And that was intentional because like to us, it's like, obviously being a trader, I want to incentivize trading and give people opportunities to get in and out of the ecosystem with still feeling like their time there was value. Talked about like valuing time. So those bones, those points stay attached to the account.
Nice.
And all of that can be used. We had a ton of different events so far. We had a one-of-one situation where you could have gotten the bear, and that had a massive burn on bones, which was awesome. Packs drop. I think like right now we're like every 10 to 14 days trying to figure out more stuff that we can roll out in shorter term to make it even more deflationary. Because right now you're earning about 10 bones a day. How do we get people to want to spend them? Whether it is merch, and that's an avenue that we're going to go down where it's like spending the bones, so there's not a cost. And some of this other fun stuff like gamified means. Like I love game theory and like making people think about their decision before taking action. And I think there's a lot of really cool stuff that we can do with it. But we stayed away from the token because I've always thought that like having a token can almost strap the floor price. If the token's not pumping, the floor won't pump. And if the token's tanking, many times the floor can. So that was always my mentality. It was like points, we can keep relatively flat and make it make more adjustments on the fly without having to worry about actual liquidity in the market form.
Yeah, that's probably a safer bet, man. Just because, I for some reason, you know, I got mixed up with the whole fucking dollar sign, you know what I mean, in front of it.
That's intentional.
Okay. So I wanted to ask, bro, one last question about Bodogos, man. We can move forward. What's the future look like for Bodogos? What are you looking forward to, and should we be kind of keeping an eye out for?
Yeah, so I think you're going to see some more gamified things, more ways to spend bones. I'm really excited to incentivize collecting of the free NFTs and giving a reason for the free NFTs. We have some stuff rolling out here in the near future for people who have collected the free NFTs but don't hold any dogs, can slowly but surely start to participate in the ecosystem. So I like to keep a lot of it close to the chest because we do have a lot of pivots and innovation and adaptations. But there's going to the free NFTs, I promise, have meaning to them. And that's going to come out in the very near future. I'd probably say today's Friday, probably next, hopefully 7 days, you know, a little bit of alpha, dude. It's all a funnel. I always talk about this funnel. Like, how do we funnel in the viewers, the content, the speculators, the crypto curious back to dogs? And the free NFTs is the first way. Like, you're going to get a taste of bones. You're going to get a taste of what you can do with them. You're going to want more bones. Easiest way to get more bones, stake a dog. So like, it's just this funnel and an explanation aspect where I look at like mobile gaming, where they give you a little bit of the premium level to make you want to get even more involved in the ecosystem. And it's kind of that approach.
Nice. Nice, man. Damn, that's actually pretty smart, man. I didn't ever really thought about something like that, man. But, you know, I also wanted to mention, dude, I think that people really, and this is huge, man. I think people just fucking trust you. You know what I mean? How that the way you are so transparent, even from before, dude, when you started with your trades, you sold, when you sold, why you sold, you know, all those things, even up to now, and you know, what you're doing with Bodago, why does this matter? What are you going to get with Bone? You know, all those things, man. I think that people really, really just, you know, trust you guys, trust the team. And yeah, man, I just wanted to give you guys your kudos on that. Cause trust, man, that's not something that fucking is easily obtained, man. You know what I mean? Like, I'm very comfortable in saying like, hey, dude, go to the fucking Nifty Border Show, or go to Easy, dude. You know what I mean? For this or that. It's you guys are very trustable people, and I just wanted to mention that.
No, I appreciate that, man. It's when you start in the space, you always end up following some bad actors and getting into situations where you're like, I bought this because this person said to, and they sold it, and you get frustrated. And I never wanted that. I was always just like, if I'm hyper transparent and make it clear why I'm acting or doing something, then people will understand. That's just the mantra I've always focused on. You know? And
No, 1,000%. And how do you feel about that, man? When like people kind of blame influence, I get it. You know, I get it. But like, shouldn't there be a little bit of accountability there for all of us? You know?
Yeah, for sure. It's also just like, dude, it's one of those things that you will never find 100% of people happy. There's people who don't like me, which I'm fine with. And I said it to you in person, and it's something I've focused a lot of time and energy on, is like being hyper conscious of how you spend your time.
Yeah.
Whether that's responding to people who are angry, knowing who to give your energy to, because some anger is warranted and those are the ones I like to respond to. A lot of anger is not warranted, and that's where I don't want to waste my time. Like, go crazy, yell at me all you want, like it's not going to change anything. You're just upset and I'm sorry, like I hope you feel better. You know, so like that's just not my mentality. Is like, I really value where I spend my energy and time, and I think that's a big thing with it.
Oh yeah, that's very definitely huge, man. And I'm not gonna lie, dude, sometimes I'm not the best at it, you know what I mean? Sometimes, bro, like the heat of the moment, man.
You know what I mean?
Like, I just wanted to fucking, dude. But like, yeah, I'm working on it, you know, because you're right, man. It's not a good look once you're just out there, just, you know, the conversation is just bagging each other. You know what I mean?
And then you kind of look back at it a few hours later, you're like, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
No, like, dude, you feel mad. You're like grossed out by yourself. Like, what did I do?
Fucking, you can read my ass like a book, bro. I swear, it happens even more because, like, I'll be sober for the most of the day, you know, just kind of just doing my thing. But like, when I go like smoke outside, you know, take a hit of the bong, dude, I feel so bad. I'm like, fuck, dude, I shouldn't have said that to that person. This person's probably having a shitty day. I just made it fucking worse. Yeah, those thoughts go out of my head.
But you're just like, damn, dude, I made it worse, or I didn't help myself. Nope. You go and reread the tweet and you're like, who am I, dude?
Yeah, exactly, bro. I definitely got to work on it. It's a good thing that I'm like acknowledging it, though, you know. But
it's huge.
Yeah. You know, next topic, man, I just wanted to talk about the Nifty Morning Show, man. I'm a huge fan. My ass is in there mostly every morning because it's really a great show. I just want to mention too, dude, like, you guys are very, and this is huge for me, just me personally. You guys are very, in a way, you guys are very, like, I know what's going to happen with the show, but it's very unpredictable how things roll out. You know what I mean? So like, bro, I can go to any other space and, you know, I'm not trying to like hate on it or anything, but dude, I know exactly what's going to be talked about, what they're going to say, and what their take is going to be. You guys are very much different. You guys have alternate opinions, alternate kind of ways of you know, sometimes you guys, none of you guys agree. And that, and I think that's a, such a fucking key thing, because it keeps it unexpected. I don't know what I'm about to get, and but I know I'm going to love it. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to throw that out. But being on the Nifty Portal show helped you along your journey?
I mean, dude, I never would have made content if it wasn't for that. Like, as crazy as it sounds, like, I would have just been tweeting, you know, like, that's it. But being able to see those takes and do video content and react in real time, because, like, there's some level of prep that goes into it before, but, dude, I don't prep at all, as crazy as that sounds. Like, we have, like I know Pio and Nick read through, like, we have, like, show notes before on, like, some general structure. And I go into it completely blind. And I'm just like, whatever we talk about is what we're going to talk about. Some days I have a lot to share. Some days not so much. And that's the power of, like, a multi-person stage and cast up there is great, because it's like people can carry the conversation anytime. Like, me and Nick talked a lot this morning about the Solana phone review.
Yeah.
And, like, I was giving my honest feedback about the phone. And, like, I even said it, like, I'm not a hardware technology reviewer, but I like the phone. You know, like, this is coming from someone who's pretty good with technology and has a general understanding, but I don't know how many megapixels the camera is, you know? I just know it works fast and I can scan my fingerprint and buy stuff on the go, which is sick. It's a lot of fun. And it's helped me a ton also, like, how to navigate conflict in real time. Because if we don't agree on something, that's totally fine. And it helps you actually have to, like, justify it and, like, say what you mean and how you mean it and what is your thought process and actually articulate, which is, like, something, especially in the moment, is a huge skill to have. And I think the other thing is, like, working in content with other people is a first, where it's like you have to know when to navigate and have conversations, what part of the conversation to carry, where you can add value without cutting in. I'm even still bad about cutting people off. That's just, I get too excited, you know? And that's part of it. It's been a very big learning curve for it all, where it's like, it's really helped me navigate difficult conversations, share objective opinions in an understanding way, and navigate in a group setting to produce quality content.
That's definitely gonna, dude, you guys are just sharpening your skills, man, and you guys already have great skills, man. I go to your guys's YouTube mostly, like, every day, just so I can pick up some pointers, you know what I mean? You guys have are really out there, man. You guys are really reaching more than just NFT people, so I really want to, like, pick up on the things that you guys do, how you guys do it, some of the borders that you guys, I just studied your guys' YouTube channel, and it's pretty cool to see, man. But I wanted to talk about Web3 space as a whole. What's your honest opinion on the current state of NFTs in Web3, the community, the projects, really, really overall your perspective on everything going on today? Some positive, some negatives.
Yeah, so I'd say the negatives, I would honestly say it's probably like the copy-paste content strategy right now, where it's like everyone shares the same breaking news with the exact same text, and it's not, like I said earlier, like an opinion or an objective, which I think is, like, something a lot of people would benefit from. And, like, being able to see more opinions on the timeline would be great, instead of just, like, a lot of the, like, engagement farming is fine, people do it, but it's also, it's just like seeing the same tweet 15 times in a row drives you crazy.
Same picture.
You know? And I think the other thing is, like, with projects, it's like in this market, just try stuff. That's the biggest thing, is, like, in a bear, you can try a lot more and just see what happens, you know? Yeah. And, like, if people like it, double down on it, versus the bull, if you fumble, everyone moves on to the next thing. They give up. They don't care. They're like, you messed up. That was your one chance. See you later. So the bear's for, like, iterating, trying, and doubling down on what sticks. And I think, like, with Web3, we're really focused on this same audience, where, like, we could expand and try to capture more of a market share of, like, general individuals. You know what I mean? Like, there's ways to get people excited into collecting these things without the need of just only pushing towards the current ecosystem in space, which I think a lot of people are interested in trying. It's just, like, where do you start? And I think part of that is the trial and error.
Okay. And I know we've talked about this before, but, like, especially when you, it's kind of different when you're posting from, like, you know, something written versus something on video. How do you overcome that video aspect, dude? Because, like, even sometimes going live, you know what I mean? Like, this right here, a podcast, it's very controlled, and, you know, we're just me and you. But, like, when you're live, dude, it's going, dude. Anything can happen. Like, how do you overcome those fears, those doubts? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, dude, for me, it's just kind of like just press record and press publish. As crazy as it sounds, like, And in this space, you just post. Okay. I don't know how else to say it. Like, it's everyone talks about, like, how do I get started in content? Like, nobody starts with a following. Yeah. It all starts from posting. Consistency, quality, originality are like the three big things, you know? And it's like, be consistent, create unique content that's unapologetically you, and that originality comes from it. And then just be consistent and like, don't shy away from sharing your opinion, but also then understand that some people might not agree with you. And that's not a bad thing. Some of the best content stirs up controversy.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, just a few more questions, my guy. But given everything that's happened in the NFT space, with all the rug pulls, the whole world literally thinking all of this and us are like just a bunch of scams or fads, you know, things like that. On top of this, the bear market. With all that being said, what makes you want to continue coming back to the space every single day?
Oh, dude, for me, it's, I said it even earlier, it's my love of learning, and this space has so much to learn every single day. Like, just in this past week, dude, I think I got a video dropping Sunday about how crypto's gone political, and it's just breaking down all the potential presidential candidates and their political stances. And I just think that that's like a major sign that, like, if politics are getting into crypto, then clearly a lot more behind the scenes is being discussed around blockchain technology. Like, dude, I think of the craziest stuff that I've read and started to learn about. Like, the state of Rhode Island is using blockchain technology in their government offices to do record keeping. Denver, Colorado is currently allowing you to spend Bitcoin on licenses at their DMV. Like, stuff like that is like stuff people don't talk about or like break down, but like, clearly crypto is going more mainstream than we want to accept or realize. And for me, that's why I keep coming back, because like, it just feels inevitable. Solana accepting Visa as their blockchain for cross-border payments, next level. Like, that just shows that, like, I genuinely think our crypto or our money is going to become some level of cryptocurrency, whether it's CBDCs or just digital currency that's settled in a public ledger manner, which makes it way easier. Like, dude, wire transfers are a headache. You know what I mean? And I'm like, NFTs, we're seeing this gaming boom right now that like has always made the most sense for me for digital ownership and asset ownership. And you even look at like the Mythos blockchain, which is actually powering the record keeping for CSGO skins. And people don't even realize that. But like, the power of blockchain technology seriously outweighs the space and the people in it. And that's why I keep coming back, because like, I have so much curiosity around where and what actually garners the most attention down the line. And I don't think it's going to happen overnight, but there's so much to keep a look at and keep a pulse on, especially outside the US, where they're trying a lot of other stuff way quicker than we are. And I'm comfortable with that and eager to learn what it is they're doing and what is actually working there, because I think that's what ends up getting replicated in the US.
Yeah, and it's crazy to see like more innovation going outside from the US. And it's kind of obvious in a way, because of all the restrictions and things that we have in this country. It's more free to do more things on the other side of the planet and things like that. Man, dude, I forgot where I was fucking gonna go with this, man. I fucking blanked it now. That's right. Dude, the mainstream about crypto. I honestly, except for my rent, I pay everything in crypto. Like, I pay for my gas, my cell phone bill, I pay for my fucking everything that I have.
How?
There's a site I use. It's called Byte Refill. I don't know if you've
heard of it. Oh, yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, so they have literally every single gift card you can think of there. Dude, I bought I buy Walmart gift card,
everything,
Amazon, everything, dude. And I just, I don't know. I'm going to have to, you know, it's kind of a little tricky. So I'm going to have to like see what the implications are for buying gift cards with crypto and things like that. It's not like I've gone rampant with it, but like, you know, just small things. I'm not like buying thousands of dollars.
But your day-to-day expenses. And I'm sure.
Just day-to-day expenses, like, here and there. But yeah, man, for the most part, dude, I'm just kind of living off my crypto. And then my side jobs, I just pay the rent with that.
Damn. And I think that's only going to scale, bro. It's crazy. I mean, like, I've never gone into like the crypto.com or Binance credit cards or any of that stuff, or debit cards, because they have those where like you could theoretically off ramp. But like, there's going to be an easier way than ever to take it, you know?
Oh, yeah,
got this 1,000%. Little demon back there now.
All right, crazy. Dude. Easy, my guy. That's all I had for you. I just wanted to say again, thank you for the time and the opportunity. I absolutely had a great time having you on the show. But before we wrap everything up, please tell people where they can find more information about you, Odagos, and everything that you're doing in this space.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter at Easy Eats Bodega, EASYEATS Bodega. Same on YouTube, exact same name. I think I'm even on TikTok. I got to see if we're even posting there anymore. But yeah, so that's across all socials, Easy Eats Bodega. DM me, hit me up, follow me, whatever you want to do. I respond to as many things as I possibly can, and I'm always trying to respond to stuff and interact. Tweet at me, you know, and pick up a dog, Bodogos, on Magic Eden and Sniper.xyz. Come rock with the community. It's a lot of fun. And FFV, I appreciate you, man. You're a legend for having me on. Great conversation. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and this was long overdue.
Dude, thank you so much. It means the world that you said that, man. Well, you guys heard it here first. If you didn't, definitely rewind to hear it again. You don't want to miss on what these guys are doing in the space. But all right, brother, have a great rest of your day. Looking forward to seeing you in the fucking streets, killing it. And yeah, just have a good one, brother.
You too, my guy. I appreciate you once again. Oh, yeah.